day, friends. We want to begin the broadcast today by having a word of prayer. So before we get into another lesson on the power of the prophets, join us in prayer if you care to do so and can. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy sanctified presence on this day with grateful hearts for the sparing of our lives throughout the days that are past and gone, and giving us an opportunity to have stability in our life, realizing as thy word teaches that life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and soon vanisheth away. But the stability of the spiritual man is that which continues on, Father, and we ask for help that we may build and strengthen ourselves spiritually. We pray for those who make this broadcast possible and for those who hear the broadcast, realizing there are those who are away from the Lord. May they hear the word, believe it, and obey it while they have time and opportunity. We pray for the sick, Father, and for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And our prayer goes out for kings and governors and presidents and those in nations of the world and certainly in our own fine country. We trust that men may be aware of the fact that thou truly art the one who made this universe. If they don't know that, Father, may there be means brought to their attention that will actually bring this point to their mind. And then may they see that the plan that you have for each individual who can obey that gospel and gain peace with thee will also make it possible for the world to be at peace. We know, Father, that thou hast said in thy word, as thy son offered a teaching, I came not to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And this would indicate that nations will continue to war. But the only solution that we can see for peace, Father, as we pray to you, would be if enough people had come to be at peace with thee, that then they might look upon their fellow man as one that they would not want to kill or destroy, but to live with peacefully in this world. Now help us in the proclamation today that thy name may be glorified. This is our prayer we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, we're going on down the line on the power of the prophets. We have the lesson today and also next week before we finish the power of the prophets. And I want to say to you, as we often do on a broadcast, that this is sent to you, to your family circle, as a religious service. Now, that isn't a substitution for church attendance. But we use the word religious service from the standpoint that we look upon this broadcast as a spiritual assistant to help you and your family come to know God's Word better. That's how it is a service. It's serving you in a religious way, with a thus saith the Lord, for everything that's offered on this broadcast. Now, one of the great needs, we think, is that people might understand where we are today in the sight of God. Of course, if you are away from the Lord, if you never obeyed the gospel, then keep the thought in mind that Jesus said that ye must be born again. The Bible tells us how to be born of the water and the Spirit, and we have no less than 9 outstanding accounts of conversion that are found in the book of Acts. Then there are going to be other subjects come to your mind, and one of the subjects are going to come to your mind, you're going to hear people talking about, is the law of Moses. You know, some lady said to me not too long ago, and I thought it was quite interesting, she said, is this just a term that someone has coined? Is it just an expression, the law of Moses? No, I said it's more than that. I said it's a Bible expression because it's found in the Bible, and I have my book open on the broadcast today to a place where that's found, in Malachi 4:4. Now, this will be easy for you to find, because Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It's the 39th book in the Bible. It comes just before Matthew. Really, there's 400 years that span between Malachi and Matthew, but it'll be easy to find because it's the last chapter of the Old Testament. Malachi 4, and I'm dropping down to verse 4, and here's what it says. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. I think that's a very thought-provoking verse, not alone because of what it says, but where it comes. You see, it comes at the end of the Old Testament. It comes at a time when these people are now looking forward constantly to the coming of the Messiah that we talked about last week. But the words that are found in this verse are very interesting. It mentions about them remembering as Israelites the law of Moses, and it simply mentions where it was received in Horeb. That's the same as Mount Sinai. It says it was for all Israel. There's an interesting point, because this law that was given there at Mount Sinai was never given to the Gentile people. Now, the only way a Gentile could subscribe to this law was to become what we understand a proselyte. And I was reading about the proselytes some time ago. There were proselytes that were very strict. They wanted to adhere to all the rites of the law of Moses. And then there was kind of the proselyte who was general. He just wanted to probably observe the rite of circumcision or to actually get in the inner circle of the Jews. Well, anyway, this was not given to the Gentile people. So if you're a Gentile this morning, you can realize that even though the Old Testament is a wonderful teaching that ought to be studied, and we're not saying it shouldn't at all, yet that Old Testament was not written from the standpoint of a law under which you were to live if you're a Gentile. Now, if you're a Jew today, we want you to keep in mind that Christ fulfilled that law. He filled it full. It served its purpose. And we're aware of the fact that when he died on the cross, he was able to say it is finished. Not alone was his life finished, but we're also aware of the fact that everything that was said regarding him and the law was finished. It had served its purpose. And there would be a new law that Paul speaks of in Romans 3:27 as the law of faith. You find this to be different. Now, when you look at the law of Moses, you find the Ten Commandments being found in the law of Moses. Now, someone says, you mean to tell me that we're not to subscribe to the Ten Commandments today? Well, I think you'll find that those commandments, as they unfold there, certainly many of them have to do with things that I think people were conscious of even before the law of Moses came. And they're conscious of what God wants in the teaching that's found on this side of the cross, the teaching the Holy Spirit brought to the apostles. In fact, there's really only one in principle, when you come down to the bottom of it, that is not carried out today. And even though there's a worship of God today, there never is a time after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles as they preached to the Gentile world and as they preached to the Jews as well that they told them to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, this is interesting. Now, there are many people in the world today who believe that the Sabbath day should be kept holy, and we're not in any way casting a reflection upon those people because I'm willing to take the position that they're honest. But we believe, as we talk to you, that Sabbath day, which has always been Saturday, was finished with the death of Christ on the cross. Now, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and from all indication of computation, that must have been upon the first day of the week. The disciples were told in Acts 20:7 to come together upon the first day of the week to break bread. In 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, they gave as they were prospered upon the first day of the week. And it seemed that the whole thing was changed, not by man, even though man has made decrees that can be cited, yet this whole thing was changed by the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross and the wonderful teaching of the gospel that came to the apostles on that first Pentecost after Christ went to heaven. Well, someone says, now, there are people who believe that we're still living under that law. Well, I'm sure that was true, not alone at this time, but I think it was true back at the time when this transition took place. And Paul reminded the Roman congregation in Rome, Italy, he reminded them that being made up of both Jew and Gentile, that there's something they ought to keep in mind. And he cites an example, I think, that's unparalleled in the 7th chapter of Romans. And I'm going to take time in the broadcast this morning to read this in your hearing. In the first verse of the 7th chapter of Romans, here's what he says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law." And he's referring here, I would understand, to the law of Moses. "How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now what's he actually talking about? He's talking about the law of Moses, and he's also talking about what is found in Christ. Now listen to the fourth verse. Here's the application. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Now someone says, "Preacher, how do you know he's talking about the law of Moses? How do you know that he may be just referring to the word law from the standpoint of law, saying we don't have law anymore?" Well, there are people who honestly believe that. But notice he says you're become dead to the law by the body of Christ. That would be his death on the cross. Now notice verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Not like the law of Moses that was written on tables of stone, but verse 7, I think, is a clinching point. What law is he talking about? What shall we say then? Is a law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. And that was one of the Ten Commandments. That was definitely a part of the law of Moses. So I believe he's pinpointed the point here in telling them that you can't live under the law of Moses and you can't live under the law of Christ at the same time, or the law of faith, as Paul calls it in Romans 3:27. You just can't do that. You can't live under the law of Moses and you can't live under Christ at the same time. You've got to realize, Jew and Gentile, that the law of Moses had served its purpose. Christ came not to destroy it, but he came to fulfill it. When he died on the cross, it had served its purpose. And now we understand it stands as a law in the past. But now on this side of the cross, the perfect law of liberty, the gospel is found in James 1:25, that offers commandments today and offers teaching that certainly would indicate to us that we're not to have any gods before us, any other gods before us. We're not to become idolatrous people. We're not to kill. We're not to steal. We're not to bear false witness. We're not to covet, and so on. But you see, the point is that all the sacrifices that were under the law of Moses and all the teaching that was under the law of Moses was given to the Israelites. Now, on this side of the cross, we know what to do, not from reading the Old Testament. We know what to do to be saved from our sins by reading the New Testament, by finding what people did to obey the gospel of Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying that the law of Moses was not a good law. In fact, the final verse of that 31st chapter of Exodus says that it was written by the finger of God, and it served its purpose. But today we are living under a teaching that is brilliant, a teaching that is outstanding. As Jesus was told his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, he didn't say go into all the world and tell both Jew and Gentile about the law of Moses. Now, that law of Moses that was given at Mount Sinai was given to the Israelite people. Paul, in speaking about the law or speaking about the condition of the Gentiles during that time, said in Romans 2:14 that they were under a law to themselves, or a law of conscience. And we're aware of the fact that many Gentiles, I don't know how many, knew that it was truly wrong to kill. They knew it was wrong to steal. Here we have the story of Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter, who was a Gentile. And he believed there was a God. He prayed to God. He gave alms to the people. So the influence of the law of Moses was found in the lives of even Gentile people. But I thought it might be interesting to note that the Old Testament, in the teaching of the prophets, was that which brought us unto Christ Jesus. Paul speaks of the New Testament gospel as faith. And he says in Galatians 3, before faith came, before that gospel came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, or to the gospel, which should afterwards be revealed. He said that law, referring to the law of Moses, was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And you can be justified by faith by hearing the word, believing it, repenting your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, that you believe he is the Son of God, and following that with immersion in water, baptism into Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Well, we're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. I think this has been interesting because of what the Bible teaches. I hope if you have questions, you'll send them in. I hope you'll meditate upon this lesson, and above all, that you'll obey the truth that is able to make all men free, free from sin, and free to serve Him.